Your name. You are mighty, Savior of the world. And Lord, thank you that you are powerful and mighty. And we do want a true, greater move of God in this nation. Lord, give us wisdom. How can we be more effective witnesses for you? And Lord, I thank you for every person here today is called to be an ambassador for Christ and called to shine the light of God's, push back the darkness of the devil. So Lord, I hope that everyone here today will be inspired, filled with the Holy Spirit, that throughout this week they will live for you, Lord Jesus, shining your light, doing your will. Maybe little things that people don't notice, but God will notice, heaven will notice. So we just pray, Father, give us your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My Bible scripture comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 26. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So what is the value of saving one soul? And I want to answer that question today by sharing the beautiful testimony, the beautiful story of how my grandmother was converted at the age of 94. So it's a big story, so I'm going to share that story with you today. Now, in many ways, she looks like an angel. She had a wonderful character. She was so sweet, so kind, so gentle, so considerate. Yet she was lost. She hadn't made peace with God. She didn't understand her danger or her need to make peace with God. So how do we tell these kind of people that without faith in Jesus, they're still missing the very most important thing? How do we tell a nice person that they are a lost sinner? My grandmother, Mary Needham, was born on the 14th of August, 1920, and passed away on the 28th of September, 2014. And during the final stage of her life, she knew that time was short, and that caused her in some ways to open her heart to the Lord at the very end. So this story today centers on the 11th of September, 2014, just 2.5 weeks before she passed away. It was a Thursday. And I went to see Mary, knowing that it would probably be my last opportunity to help prepare her for leaving this earth and having to stand before Almighty God and give an account of her life. Now, before this time, whenever I tried to share with her the things of God, it would only last about 2 minutes. She wouldn't ask any questions, she wouldn't show any interest to discuss it, and the conversation would soon be changed to another topic. The only thing was that she was open for being prayed for just before we had to leave. So that was pretty much all we could do, just say a little prayer before leaving. But never underestimate sowing a little seed and a little bit of openness, even though on the whole it seemed as if she was totally closed. Now my father, he'd been praying for the conversion of his mother from when he was saved 45 years earlier. So he had been praying for her salvation for 45 years. And his prayer was that the Lord would not take her from this earth until she was ready to go. And about a year before she passed away, myself and I got a real extra burden to pray for her, because we all knew that she was getting older and she was weaker and she wasn't saved. So I asked my sister and my two brothers to specifically keep her in prayer, hoping that the unity of our prayers as a family would have a greater effect. And I also asked other intercessors. I knew one good intercessor who had been interceding for my own missionary work. So I asked her to specifically put Mary on the intercession list, because I couldn't bear the thought of my grandmother not making it to heaven. My father was the only one who became a Christian in his family, and that took place just before he turned 21. And at that point of time, his sister and brother showed a little bit of interest, but they never took any step towards God, and instead went on the path of unbelief and then hard-heartedness towards God. And it seemed as if my grandmother was more influenced by the unbelieving relatives than us that were the lone Christian family. So it seemed really hard to have any impact on. I don't know if many of you are probably in that situation with some of your own relatives that don't want to listen to what you have to say, and it becomes 10 times harder, and you kind of need someone else to step in and share the gospel with them. But you can pray that God will do that when they're not listening to. I remember talking to my younger brother, Richard, quite a few years ago now, and he was talking about this, and it was like, why that we as a Christian family have never been able to save our unbelieving relatives. And anyway, that was not the end of the story. And our small witness for Jesus would have a little bit of effect. There were special times when my grandmother used to come and stay with us. And one of those times was when my mother was actually working for the church as a drama director. And she would put on Christian shows. And that's one of the main ways that the church would reach out to people, through putting on these special performances and inviting people to come to church. And at that point of time, even a good number of schools used to send all their class loads of children to come into the church to see the show during the week. And my grandmother came to one of these shows, and at the end of the performance, there was a powerful salvation message. And I was just rejoicing that my grandmother was there at church that day. And I was hoping that the message would touch her heart. And after the show, I asked her what she thought about the performance and the words that were spoken. But it just seemed as if it had no effect. It didn't touch her heart at all. And I thought, wow, how can that be? It was just such a good witness. Around that time, my grandmother Mary, this was her attitude. It's wonderful for you, but I don't have faith. Now, my grandmother, from my mother's side of the family, was a strong Christian. So I've got the two different grandmothers. And on a couple of occasions, my Christian grandmother would try to share the gospel with my non-Christian grandmother. But again, the same kind of attitude was, that's wonderful for you. I can see it is good for you and has blessed you. But I don't have faith. So that was the stronghold that she was under. Now, about 5 or 6 months before my grandmother died, God again laid on my heart a burden to go and see her. And around that time, my mother was coming up to Auckland, because Mary lived in Auckland, and my parents had been travelling around the South Island in a motorhome, but my mother wanted a little bit of a break, so she was flying up here to Auckland, and I met my mother, and we went to see my grandmother. And she was by then living in an old people's home that had extra nursing care. And again, she showed little or no interest in hearing the gospel. And when I mentioned the name of Jesus, the topic was quickly turned to something else. I tried to encourage her to make sure of her salvation. But she said to me, "How is your brother?" So it was all about the family and other little details instead of what really matters. So again, it seemed as if our attempt to share with her was getting nowhere. So even just a few months before she passes away, it was as if her heart was closed. But I believe it was because of the prayer, those 45 years of prayer from my father, that's why God allowed her to have a long, hot life. Because it seems that the only way to save her was for all the obstacles to be removed. And so it took her 94 years before the obstacles were removed. But I know that every lost person in New Zealand has different obstacles in their hearts and lives that are stopping them from being saved. And we're in a spiritual battle. And we as Christians, when we're trying to share the gospel with unbelievers, we are in that battle. Now, my Christian grandparents, they had walked out their faith in a true way. And the death of my Christian grandmother had been quite hard for the last 2 years of her life. She had basically been bedridden, couldn't eat, and my mother had to basically feed her a little bit. She didn't want to eat, she just went to skin and bones. So in one sense, my Christian grandmother, her death was quite hard, yet in another sense she died in peace, faith, full assurance, ready to go to heaven, just wanting to go to heaven. And that was her situation. So my non-Christian grandmother was now asking us about that, about how our other grandmother died. So we had to share about, yes, she went through these struggles, and it was, and physically it was a hard death, but spiritually, mentally, it was a peaceful death, and she died in peace. So again, this testimony was of my Christian grandmother was speaking to Mary to encourage her to prepare for death. And in one sense, that is what this life on this earth is all about. You're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter if you're old or young. You need to be prepared to die. You need to know where you're going to go when you die. That you do have a spirit, that your spirit will leave your body. And the reason that Jesus Christ came is because he wants you to enter the kingdom of God. So the most important thing is the salvation of your soul. Now, I went to a Sunday morning church service because I heard that there was going to be a special guest speaker there. He was well known for having a prophetic anointing. He would prophesy over everyone. So, I was interested to go and listen to his ministry. Kind of wanted to see what he would prophesy over me because he had such a good reputation as a prophet of God. So there was a strong presence of the Lord in that meeting, in that church service. It was just like the faith and the anointing that was in the message. You could feel it in the atmosphere of the church. And I was just rejoicing, sitting in my seat in the church, just praising God. Thank you, Lord, your presence is so strong here. And so I began to pray. And my prayer was, God, what do you want me to do? And I just repeated that prayer a few times. God, what do you want me to do? And then I felt God speak into my heart very clearly and powerfully. Go and see your grandmother. And my response was not very good. I was thinking, not again. I've already tried so many times to share with her. It's hopeless. I can't make any progress. She changes the subject. She doesn't want to listen. Also, I was thinking of how I would have to walk. I'd have to catch a train. Then I'd have to walk. I'd have to catch a bus. And then I'd have to walk. I didn't have a car at that time. And I was thinking, it's a poor excuse when you're making excuses. But I was kind of wrestling with God. Lord, I don't want to go. I've tried. I don't want to go there. And anyway, it's interesting to note that shortly after God spoke to me to go to visit my grandmother, I then felt a complete open door to go back to the mission fields. Basically, in those days, I was a missionary, and coming and going. But the whole year, it's like the door was closed, and I couldn't go overseas. But suddenly, I felt God has just given me a green light. He's given me an open door. It was quite interesting. Nobody said anything. It was just in my spirit. I could feel it. So I'm always excited when God gives me that open door. So I immediately went down to Flight Center to check out on plane tickets. Now, God hadn't told me where to go. So I was sort of looking around the countries. They had a big map there. I was thinking, God, I'd like to go to that country. So I inquired. No, that's impossible. And I made a few little inquiries. And it was just like all the doors. There was no green light when I went to the flight center. So I had to go home. And I was praying about it for a couple more days. God, where do you want me to go? And suddenly it was assured into my heart, return to Fiji. Return to Fiji. Now basically, if this hadn't happened, I would have never got married. But I'm just giving you some of the stories. So anyway, I only had 3 weeks left before I was going to Fiji, and I was so busy doing, getting prepared and doing other things. But it was keep ringing in my mind, you have to go and visit your grandmother. So I was very slow, but finally the day did come, 11th of September 2014. And as I've already mentioned, the day is deeply embedded in my heart. It was a Thursday. But straight away, it was like an anointed journey. I just had freedom to share the gospel on the train, freedom to share the gospel on the bus with people who were sitting beside me, freedom to share the gospel to people who were walking beside me. And then I got up close to where I had to walk down to the nursing home, and I saw an Indian man sitting on some seat, so I went over and had a wonderful time of sharing the gospel with this Hindu man. So I just knew that God was at work, and his blessing had come, and that my grandmother would give her life to the Lord that day. It was as if all the prayer had come down to this one point. God was going to save her. And even though I had been reluctant to obey, God had planned everything out. There's a saying which goes, delayed obedience is no better than disobedience. Sometimes that is the case, but it's not always true. Even though Jonah had delayed obedience because he didn't want to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, God arranged things so he was brought back to the place of submission. The call of God came to him a second time, and when he preached, the entire city was saved. So maybe you failed to do something that God told you to do long ago, but in different ways, the call of God can come to you a second time. So I confessed my sin of delaying, but now we would see what God would do. So I entered the nursing home room, and Mary was lying back in her chair. And I said, "Hello, Nana, are you feeling tired?" And she replied that she was feeling crook and feeling old. And I told her that I was going to Fiji in 2 weeks' time, and that I wouldn't be able to be back for Christmas. So I'd have to say to her, "Merry Christmas," now. And then she asked me if I would be home in time for my cousin's wedding, and he was getting married in February. And I thought I would be back by then. So I said to her, "I'll see you at the wedding if you make it that long. So Nana, we had better think about life after death, salvation, and how to go to heaven." And I was able to talk to her for about 35 minutes on the things of God, which I'd never been able to do before in my whole life. And midway through the discussion, I led her in a salvation prayer, which is basically opening your heart to receive Jesus to come into you, to forgive you of your sins, and to dwell within you. To be a true believer, you must have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you've got to let Jesus in. You've got to open your heart to him. So she said yes. And then I asked her, "Are you still feeling any barriers?" So we had actually had quite a lot longer discussion after that, because basically she had no understanding of the Bible. And I had to explain to her a number of times why Jesus had to die on the cross for her sins. But she saw herself as a good person, not a sinner. So she, when I said that you need Jesus to forgive you, her question was, "Well, what if you've never sinned?" So I had to try and explain to her that actually none of us are perfect. All of us have had been selfish in various little ways. We've all had a wrong little thought here and there. Because outwardly she had lived a good life. She was, as I mentioned at the beginning, like an angel. So sweet and kind. If you saw her, it's just like, "Wow, you're such a lovely person." But I had to explain her, no, that just because of that, that doesn't mean that you've Actually, her sins were very great. She didn't know it. She had lived totally against God. She had rejected the gospel her whole life. So she didn't understand her sin. So I had to keep step by step trying to give her more understanding, more wisdom, so that she could open her heart, remove the excuses, the obstacles, and actually lead her to Christ. Now, the most important thing that we need when sharing the gospel with someone is the presence of God. And that's what I had that day. It was like Jesus himself was standing in the room. And that evening when I informed my family by email that Nana had given her life to the Lord, it was like, wow, shock, that's exciting news. So I then said to, before leaving, I said to Mary that I'll be coming next week to have a Bible study with her. And I was hoping just to have a quick couple of Bible studies before I went to Fiji. About 6 days later, I got a phone call from my dad in the morning, and he said, "What are you going to do today?" He already knew what I was going to do. I said, I'm about to go and see Nana and have a Bible study. And Dad replied, "Nana is in hospital. She had a fall last night and she has an infection, and the doctors have only given her a 20 to 30% chance of living." So I was thinking, oh no, I've missed my opportunity of having my last Bible studies. So I got to visit her a couple of times in the hospital. And basically then her mind went. And she basically lost her mind. And then it was about 2 weeks later, she passed away. But I had informed my parents that if she dies while I'm in Fiji, I won't be able to come back for her funeral. But one thing my dad said to me after she had that fall and then basically lost her mind, that really he wasn't surprised. That God had kept her alive until she had made a profession of faith. And it showed me something of the great mercy and love of God for people. That God held on to her until she made that profession. And at the age of 94, she did glorify God by giving her life to Jesus Christ. She could not read the Bible. She was not water baptized. She didn't even go to church. She simply opened her heart to Jesus and said, "Jesus, come and be my Savior." And that's the greatest thing you can do to glorify God, is to give your life to Jesus Christ. So I left for Fiji on the 24th of September and began sharing at lots of meetings. And the next week, about 15 people came forward in the church to give their life to Jesus. And I didn't know that was actually the morning she had passed away, but when I found out, when I checked my emails in the afternoon. So for the next 2 weeks, I just shared my grandmother's story wherever I went. How she came to the Lord at the age of 94. So many people heard the gospel through that. Many others made commitments to Christ. And I shared her story with so many Hindus in Fiji, because I was mainly preaching to the Indian people there, to help them understand why they need Jesus Christ. And on the day of my grandmother's funeral, I was preaching to a number of people at a house meeting in Fiji. And I told them that God didn't want me to be at the funeral in New Zealand, but he had chosen me to be here in Fiji to use my Nana's story to lead other people to salvation. And an old Hindu lady was greatly touched by the message, but unfortunately she said to me that she still needed more time before she could change. But none of us know how much more time we have. So please don't delay if you're not in Christ today. When your heart is touched, that is the time to respond and say, "Yes, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior." So I've just shared this testimony just to show the mighty hand of God to work, to give people, and to show people how he is working in people's lives. Sometimes when you look back in an event, you can see better than when you're going through it at the time how God is working it out, how God sees the big picture and what God is wanting to do in preparing us for heaven. So this was a great victory for our family. As I said, we had found it so hard to save our relatives, but it's like we got the victory. We got our grandmother saved just before she died. So it then gives us faith. We've got the other ones to work on now. I've got my atheist uncles and the other ones to work on now. But it gives me faith that our prayers are powerful. And God is mighty and looking and working in people's hearts and lives. And God knows how to save people. So as I said, my grandmother, she didn't know how long she had to live. She didn't know that that was her last chance and that in 5 days' time she would have a fall, rush to hospital and then lose her mind. So praise God that she said yes to Jesus when it was her last chance. It's a bit like that man on the cross next to Christ who said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And in that last chance, he entered heaven. To be saved, we must repent of our sins, anything that is displeasing to God. Even good people have so many sins, even if they don't realize it. And it's only Jesus who has paid the price for your salvation by carrying your sins to the cross. And Jesus offers you salvation as a free gift, but you must open your heart and receive it. Jesus is the greatest. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of committing your life fully into your hands, his hands. Don't hold back. Give your life to Jesus. He is the one to trust. You know, my grandmother was such a sweet, lovely person, but that's not what gets you into heaven. And even as she was lying in the hospital bed, just a few days before she died, the doctor would come in and he would look at her with such compassion. The doctor would pat her softly on the shoulder, just because looking at her, you were seeing such a beautiful, gracious person. She had much, you could say, Christ-like character and a goodness in her even before, you know, she didn't cross and make sure of her salvation. So there's a natural human goodness, because all people are created in the image of God. But that goodness isn't fulfilled until you're in Christ, until you make peace with your Creator. So I just remember that doctor patting her on the back, looking so sorry for her, so compassionate because of her suffering. But it's just because there was something beautiful in her. Well, she did have Jesus in her by that time, even though it had only been 1 week of receiving Jesus. But basically, coming to the end of this message now, is I don't know who here today this message was specifically for you. That you need to give your life to Jesus. And if you've been weak and up and down in your walk with God, you need to say, "I'm not going to be a weak Christian. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to believe for my relatives to get saved. I'm going to keep trying," even if you've tried many times with someone who's not wanting to listen. Maybe redouble your prayer. Maybe get some more of your family members praying. Rise up in faith and let's believe for the salvation of our unsaved relatives, friends, neighbors. Pray for your neighbors. We are in an intense spiritual battle where the devil is holding people back, trying for them to be lost forever. But we can make a massive difference. You can make a massive difference in your witness for Christ. So maybe today we need to just give a moment for God to speak to you about someone that you need to refocus on to lead to Christ. And that's what I want us to do right now. We're just going to have a moment. I was in a church meeting, I mentioned, and I said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And I want us all to say that prayer. And I want you to look to God, for God to lead you to maybe one person to begin with. And that is the person that God wants you to focus on prayer. And as you pray, expect God to give an open door to share with them. There are many ways of sharing the gospel. So let's just take that moment right now to pray. God, What do you want me to do? I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to every person who is saved, a person that they are to focus on and believe for. What is that person for each person? So if a person's come to your mind, a person's come to your heart, that's your person. If you need further prayer about it, just continue to wait on God. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved or not, I'd love to talk to you after the service, because we're here to make sure that you're going to go to heaven, that you're ready to die. So if you're not sure where you are with God, come and have a talk with me after the service. But I'm just going to close in prayer now. Lord, I just thank you for the salvation of my grandmother. And Lord, I just pray that it's a testimony to encourage every Christian in the battle of souls, the value of saving one soul. And Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit must have been speaking a person into different ones' hearts, that they can lead to you, because it's your love, Father, for that person. It's your desire to save them. It's you, Father God, that so loved this world that you gave your one and only Son. Whoever believes will not perish, but will have eternal life. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for giving my grandmother a long life. And Lord, the only assurance I have that she is in heaven is that she called upon your name. And thank you for your promise that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When they have that faith in their heart, when they understand that you did die on the cross and rise from the dead, when they confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord. So Lord, bless the church today. I just pray that, Lord, this week, Lord, that their prayers will be strong and that they will take whatever opportunities you give them to share the gospel with others. We believe and ask for a greater harvest of people to come to salvation. Yes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.